Let's do this. The Cult of Hockey Podcast. I'm David Staples, and this is the podcast by the faithful and for the faithful. I'm coming to you in this podcast from the Cult of Hockey Broadcast Center in my kitchen. So you heard of the old Hot Stove League? Well, this is the Induction Oven League. I don't really know what the Hot Stove League was, but they used to talk about that a lot on a hockey night in Canada in the old days, and they'd sit around a fire, I don't know, a stove, a hot stove, and they'd talk about hockey. So tonight is going to be Kurt Levins and I don't know where Kurt's sitting, but I'm sitting in my kitchen by the old induction oven, which doesn't give off any heat. I don't know how it works, but it works well. Kurt, where are you? You're at home?
I could use that hot stove lounge because I am at home, but I'm out on my front step, so I get good cell reception for you. So you may be warm. I'm a little bit on the cold side, as were the Oilers tonight.
So this was called the biggest game of the year. Did you see it that way, or how did you see the match in those terms?
Well, I did see it as the biggest game of the year in such that the Oilers had a chance to take a shot at the top of the standings, and more importantly, had a chance to take on a team that it's quite likely they'll face in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And so from that standpoint, I did think it was the biggest game of the year to date. And if we were to grade the team on the performance, I'd have to say that they didn't pass the grade tonight, given the opposition that they were facing.
No, they got stomped. I mean, the score really flatters them in the end. You know, the funny thing is the Oilers, you know, the whole idea of these games is the Oilers to get 2 points. But I have to say, you can't win them all. They just won four in a row. You can't win them all. And a little bit of the sting is taken out by McDavid getting 3 points, even though his team got zero. So I always love it when Connor McDavid gets another point, I have to say. And when he stole one at the end there, that was it took a bit of the bitterness out of that awful pill that we were all swallowing tonight.
Well, I'm kind of with you. The 3 points for McDavid on the night, I think his bulge over Sidney Crosby is 4 now in the NHL scoring race. So that did indeed feel good. And I'm with you. You can't win them all. And Anaheim is a good hockey team that's been playing good hockey lately. On the positive side of that, they're back at it again tomorrow night against Colorado. And they have back-to-back games, one away, one at home, to the not only the worst team in the league, but the worst team in the 20 points. They're 20 points worse than Arizona, David. So while tonight stung, sure, there's something positive on the horizon. There's no question about that.
So I had it as Anaheim with 25 scoring chances, the Oilers just 10. But when it came to the kill floor, the inner slot, Anaheim had 15 grade A chances and the Oilers just had 5. And I'll tell you, halfway through the second period, I just thought, this is one of those games where the Oilers, they just don't have it. You know, there's little moments in a game where the player passes behind someone else or doesn't take the man or doesn't to compete hard enough. And if you start to see enough of those from a team, and I think I see that now and then from, if you watch any team, you'll see that now and then. But this was certainly a night where the Oilers were like that. They just did not seem to have... One line seemed to have some jump, but nobody else did that I could see.
Well, I agree. And as you're right, there are little moments in the game and then there are big moments in the game. Honestly, I thought the Oilers and Anaheim were pretty even for the most part over 20 minutes. But the killer was that Lindholm goal at 19:29 of the first period. I mean, you know, David, whenever you give up a goal late in the period going into the dressing room, that deflates the whole team. And it was Cassian, who's played very good hockey, and Greiba, who missed the check, who lost their check in front. And instead of going to the dressing room 2-1, it's 2-2. And I thought that took all of the air out of the balloon. And you're right, Anaheim dominated the second period. And by the time 40 minutes was over, and that's being charitable, the game was over.
That might have been the worst period of hockey from the Oilers this year. Anaheim had 17 scoring chances. The Oilers had one. And the game, to me, like, when we've counted on Cam Talbot all year long, the Oilers have and the Oilers fans have, and he's come through. But this was one game where there's a couple goals that he just missed it. And, you know, the first goal, Patrick Eves, and then... Manson's goal, I didn't particularly like from the slot either. And so the third goal I thought was a little bit off as well. And, you know, I have to say, I'm going to blame this on Gene Principe, you know, that all that stuff about the shutout. He jinxed him. He jinxed him. Yeah.
Well, I'll agree with you here, David. The Eves goal, he totally should have had. I think he was trying to angle that into a corner, and he missed his angle, yeah. And he lost that one.
Yeah.
And then the Manson goal, I mean, he scored from 50 feet out. NHL goaltender stopped that.
You so got to have that.
You do. Two bad goals on Cam Talbot for sure. But this is a goaltender that has picked up his team time and time again all year long. This was one of those nights where he needed his team to pick him up. And that was the failure in this game because his teammates couldn't do that.
That would have been nice, wouldn't it? And, you know, Bob Stauffer tweeted out that the Oilers will be disappointed they didn't do that. Well, I guess they should have done it. And the intensity just wasn't there from this team and from missing from a lot of players in the game. I have to say this, like, I don't like picking on Drew Remenda too much because he gets picked on enough by everybody. But I do like it when announcers call a spade a spade. And when Cam Talbot let in those 2 weak goals, there was all the excuses. I mean, you don't have just say, hey, he blew it. He should have had that. Even give it, well, Cam Talbot would have liked to have that one back. You know, that kind of very mild critique. But don't try to say, well, this happened and that might have hit somebody's stick. I mean, yeah, it hit someone's stick, but it was like 100 miles away and you could have adjusted by the time it got to the net if it did hit anybody's stick. So
I completely agree with you. If you ask Cam Talbot in the dressing room after the game, he'll say, I totally should have had those two goals. Professional goalies know it. They're not trying to kid anybody. Now, the plus side of this is Laurent Brossoit came in, who hasn't played since, like, what year is it? It's been that long. And faced 16 shots now. He got some help from his friend the post. two consecutive posts, I might add.
That was sweet.
But you know what? Yeah, it was sweet. We'll take that every day, won't we? But you know what? He looked solid otherwise. He really did look calm in net. He wasn't flopping around like we've seen him in the past. And it makes it kind of interesting now, doesn't it, David? Because on one hand, Brossoit has played so well in this game. You could see playing him against Colorado, which I'm sure was the plan to start with. But now with Talbot only having faced 18 shots in like 28, 29 minutes of work, he's not tired now. You could easily bring him back tomorrow in Denver and make darn sure you get those 2 points.
So how cold is it outside right now, Kurt? You're a real trooper here, man. Are you shaking? Are you freezing?
I'm glad it's not January. It's actually not bad. It's about -4 so, and I've got a fleece jacket on, and I'm wearing slippers.
Hey,
so it's a good thing this is not, I guess it's not even radio. It's a podcast. It's a good thing it's not TV, or you'd have to cancel.
How about this, man? Wouldn't this be good? Is if here how's this for fantasy that we do some of these post game podcasts on kind of a warm, summery night? Oilers deep in the playoffs. How about that? So I want to talk about who didn't bring it tonight, and I'm going to single out the Steve Austin line. I was really Milan Lucic. This year we've seen the good Lucic and the bad Lucic, and I think he's quite an inconsistent player because some nights he looks like he's, you know, that signing was worth it and it, in every way. So what did you think of Lucic, Kurt?
Well, I have to agree that honestly I thought the whole line disappeared in the second period. In fact, I thought the whole second and third lines disappeared in the second period. And it was only the first line that really kept things going. So there are questions to be answered on that second and third line tonight. I agree. And further to that, with the exception of a shift or two, I thought the wingers on the fourth line were all but invisible tonight as well. So I'm not only expecting that Eric Greiba, who had a couple bad plays tonight, will be out in place of Benning tomorrow night, but I fully expect either Slepyshev or Kajula to be out tomorrow night, and I imagine the veteran Hendricks will be back in there just wasn't enough from the bottom nine forwards.
I was waiting until you would gave a boost to your man Hendricks, and we're going to suggest that the Oilers had to go back to him. You know what? I thought I agree with you on the second and third lines. I actually thought that the only other, there was no sign of life from Oilers lines other than the first line until the fourth line got it going in the third period. And they had a couple great shifts, Slepyshev and Kajula, you know, no doubt inspired by the fact that if they don't have that, they're not going to play again tomorrow night. I wouldn't mind seeing Kyra in for a game. And because Kajula and Slepyshev turned it on, I wouldn't mind seeing Pouliot sit a game. I just thought he did nothing all night as well. So that would work too.
Yeah, I suspect that this time of year, with Todd trying to wind his team up for a playoff run, I expect unless there's something egregious on the top three lines, that he'll probably stick with those. And I think most of the shuffle will come on the fourth line. I agree with you. I wouldn't mind seeing JJ come in. At this point, he's been out of the lineup so long. But if you're going to bring him in, why not against Colorado? I mean, we could bring Leonard Petrell back for Colorado.
Zach Stortini. Yeah. Eric Bélanger.
We could start listing them off from the last 5 years, couldn't we?
Yeah. Okay, what did you think of the penalty kill? I don't think, like, they were fairly even in face-offs in the game. I looked at the stat sheet, but in the PK, they just seemed to get slaughtered on the face-offs, and it got worse from there. What do you think is the issue?
Well, over on the face-offs, you're right. Going into the game, Anaheim was the best face-off team in the league. The Oilers, the worst, but at the end of the night, it was just about a soft 50-50. Anaheim had five power plays. The Oilers killed off all five. Now, on one of the power plays, I think it was the last power play they had five shots on net. And Laurent Bessois, I thought, was the best penalty killer on the ice. So there was an issue there. Absolutely, when you lose face-offs on the penalty kill, possession is an issue. But at the end of the day, if you look back five games, I think their penalty kill had come along quite nicely. And at the end of the day, while there were dicey moments, they did kill off all five tonight. So I give them a narrow pass on that, but I'm with you. There were too many nervous points for me as well.
They had horseshoes on the PK. That's the only thing that stopped the goal going in. And I don't know how much of it was the Oilers, but Anaheim's power play was fantastic. Anaheim is one of those teams, the teams that really give the Oilers trouble and give everybody trouble probably. They not only have good forwards, but they have a defense that can really move the puck. And that's what I noticed with the Anaheim defense tonight. And this is why I think Anaheim's gearing up right now, is that defense core is hitting its stride. They were flying, and you know, Lindholm moving in for that goal was another example of it. Those guys were flying. They were moving the puck. The Wild are another team like that right now that has this great defensive unit that can really move the puck. And on the power play, those guys just moved it around, the defenseman and everybody else, so well.
I'm with you. Anaheim kind of, you know, develops defensemen for fun these days, don't they? I mean, they just keep coming up with one good defenseman after another. Now, the Oilers have lots of prospects in the system, but at this point, you know, a lot of the guys on the ice tonight had 1 to 2 years experience. So, you know, maybe what we're seeing is that gap, and maybe in a couple of years it closes. But for tonight, I'm with you. I thought Anaheim's backhand did move the puck really well. And whenever you have that aspect, that movement coming in off the point, it causes your box to jostle and sometimes break down and causes chaos in your own end. So I think you pinpointed probably the issue tonight.
I thought the young Oilers defenseman in particular struggled. Darnell Nurse, I thought, looked about as shaky as he's looked since he got back. And Oscar Klefbom had some trouble down his wing again. You know, the veterans were a little bit better. But Nurse was not on at all. So let's end up, Kurt, with the answering one question. So tomorrow night, who do you go with, Brassois or Talbot?
Well, if I'm pretending that I'm Todd McClellan, I go with I go with Cam Talbot. I think you have the chance to go in and get 2 points, and I think that this is the kind of coach that we have that's playing each game like it's the last game. He's playing each game as if the most important thing in the world is to win this game. And I think he thinks going into any game with Cam Talbot in net gives him the best chance to win. Peter Chiarelli might want him to play Brassois, but I'll bet you $2 that Todd McClellan goes back with his starter tomorrow night.
Okay, so if you had a vote, what would you vote on?
I don't think I'd go against the. I don't think I'd go against the coach. Brossoit was good tonight. Big factors were when they pulled Talbot about halfway through the game and the number of shots that he had faced. Only 18. Tonight did not tire Cam Talbot out. And if I'm a goaltender like Cam Talbot, I want to get back in. I want to get back in and recover. And if I'm the coach, knowing that I need my goaltender down the rest of the stretch run and into the playoffs, I need Cam Talbot to have confidence. So to not play him again tomorrow night, I think then Cam Talbot sits there and stews for until Saturday night. So if I'm him, I put the veteran in as well.
There's some players who I wouldn't mind sitting and seeing them stew after that game. But Talbert is not one of them. He just had a rough night. And I think you're right that McClellan will pick Talbot. And I think I'm actually cool with either choice. Brossoit played very well when he took the net. You could justify him playing or you could justify Talbot. I don't think there's a wrong call there. I think they're both good options. And, you know, there's that school that says Talbot's being worked into a bloody pulp this year. You know, I don't buy that because he's played his best hockey so late in the season here. And tonight, notwithstanding tonight. Alrighty, Kurt. Well, thanks for turning out for the podcast and braving it. I think I've actually lost your connection here. So in the meantime and in between time, this has been another edition of the Cult of Hockey podcast. Thanks for listening.